WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart Radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. It is Tuesday morning at 6, and you're on the 50,000-watt front porch. Welcome aboard for our first look at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, what's behind a deadly Orlando shooting? More in 1 minute.
What's behind Biden's bad jobs report? He doesn't get it, but I do. Let's talk next on Good Morning Orlando.
6:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. A deadly shooting in Orlando appears to be a case of domestic violence. Orlando police say it happened yesterday morning as a man and woman were walking outside an immigration office on Corporate Center Boulevard.
A Hispanic male suspect drove up, confronted the Hispanic female and the Hispanic male, fired some shots.
Police Lieutenant Diego Toronto says 52-year-old Alberto Dominguez Ortiz was killed. The woman was not hurt. The suspect, 52-year-old Alberto Rivero Millan, was arrested in Kissimmee.
Apparently, the suspect there is the ex-husband of the woman who was walking with the victim.
Yes.
And that's the domestic aspect of this, right?
Exactly. A suspect is in custody in connection with the death of a teenage girl in St. Johns County. Sheriff Rob Hardwick is urging patience.
Let this case go through the process and go through the system. Let us do our jobs. Let the medical examiners do their job. And let the state attorney's office prosecute this case.
A 14-year-old boy is charged with second-degree murder. The cause of 13-year-old Tristan Bailey's death is yet to be determined. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. President Biden claims the economic recovery from the COVID pandemic is on track.
Because of the American Rescue Plan, forecasters are projecting we'll see the fastest economic growth in nearly 40 years, in the months to come.
The economy added 266,000 jobs in April, far below expectations. Biden said monthly jobs reports are snapshots and do not necessarily reflect economic trends.
Yeah, I've got some issues with the president here, and we're going to see if we can get to the bottom of what's really the truth behind this fiasco that was the April jobs report.
A plan to reform auto insurance could drive up costs for Florida residents. The American Property Casualty Association released a report last week that found eliminating personal injury protection premiums would cost drivers an extra $344. Currently, drivers have to buy PIP, but a state Senate bill would eliminate that requirement. A longtime figure at Kennedy Space Center is moving to a new position in Washington. NASA announcing yesterday that KSC Director Bob Cabana is being promoted to its number 3 position, Associate Administrator, effective next week. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson says Cabana will be responsible for bringing more commercial activity to NASA like he has at KSC. And it looks like a former Florida Gator football star's return to the NFL is set to become official.
We brought you the story last month that Tim Tebow had been working out with the Jacksonville Jaguars in preparation of an NFL comeback. Now the Jags are close to finalizing a deal with the Heisman-winning quarterback that will see him transition to the role of tight end. Tebow has not played for an NFL team since his time at training camp with the Philadelphia Eagles in 2015, going on to explore a professional baseball career, retiring from that sport earlier this year. This return to football would reunite Tebow with his former University of Florida head coach Urban Meyer, who is entering his first season at the helm of the Jaguars. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 6:05. Cops deliver Mother's Day flowers after arresting the delivery driver for DUI. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
I thought the narrative out there was all cops are bad, Alan. I guess maybe not all cops are bad, huh?
Some mothers got their flowers.
Yes.
Despite a drunk delivery driver.
It happens. I used to deliver stuff.
You know, I mean, all right. Anyway, hey, listen, it's great to be back with you here this morning. The Bud Man, Alan, Melissa, Chris.
I missed you, man.
Well, it's good to be here on the 50,000-watt front porch. Feels like home, always does. And the best audience in talk radio, we are so glad you have found us on the radio dial. Our number, if you want to talk about whatever we're talking about at any given moment, and this show is jam-packed with hot topics from stem to stern, 6 to 9, 407-916-5400. And our text line, first name in town, if you'd like, 23680. Chris, you're shaking your head immediately when the Tebow story came up. It's a remarkable story. They wouldn't put him on the Jags if they didn't think he could play pro football.
If this isn't the ultimate, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I don't know what is. Tim Tebow hasn't played football since 2012. And he's about to turn 34 when the football season starts.
My question is this about football or about selling tickets?
Yep. Marquee value has just gone up for the Jags.
The hometown boy, Tim Tebow, from Jacksonville.
That's a great point on this, and it may be what it's all about. But, you know, ultimately, if it's a disaster, you know, I mean, the great friendship and mutual love affair with Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow from the Gator glory days is going to be forgotten very quickly, and Meyer's going to take a lot of heat for it. But I think it may be about selling tickets. You got to root for Tim Tebow. You're not like anti-Tebow, are you, Chris?
I'm so sick.
He's
going
to have to run you out of here, man.
I'm so sick.
We all
of
love
this.
Tim Tebow, right, Melissa?
He did this with the New York Mets. It was all publicity stunt. He took, you know, he took the spot of another minor leaguer. And this is just ridiculous.
But they never put him in a major league lineup, so they didn't cave to that pressure. But he's going to be in a pro football lineup with the Jags, it appears.
I want to know what his number's going to be. I'm going to buy a shirt just like all the
other ladies out there. You are not going to be able to sit alongside the Fox for the next 3 hours if you suddenly anti-Tebow. That's not going to work in there.
Ticket sales and merchandise.
I think you may well be right. And speaking of your ticket, it's here in 1 hour if you could use $1,000.
Our $1,000 stimulus contest continues on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Right after the 7 o'clock news, we will announce the very first keyword of the day. All you have to do is go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com, and submit that keyword for your chance to put a grand in your hand, something we give you an opportunity to do up to 12 times each day. Now, 6:08 on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlining a story I'm pretty sure we're going to be talking about with you tomorrow morning about this time. It looks like a vote to recall Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her GOP leadership role will occur tomorrow. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy saying it is clear they need to make a change after Cheney said the presidential election wasn't stolen from President Trump. Of course, she also voted to impeach Trump. Updates at least every 10 minutes in her top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
I've got some really strong feelings about the road the GOP is going down on stripping Liz Cheney from her leadership position. We'll get into it tomorrow, but this morning here, Melissa, we have a couch, do we not, on the 50,000-watt front porch? Oh, it's right over there.
Yeah, I'm right here.
And it's a nice one. And I think we need to put the President of the United States on it right now because I think he needs a little bit of therapy from the Budman and maybe from the rest of the team here because I think it is pretty clear that he is in total denial, at least publicly, over the reality of what's behind the absolutely disastrous April jobs report that came out after we left here on Friday. Experts who measure these things and are pretty good at predicting them expected 1 million new jobs would be created in the month of April as the economy wakes up from the worst of the COVID pandemic. Barely cleared one-fourth of that, 266,000 new jobs created. This is the worst jobs report ever in terms of missing a target, unprecedented by 1 million miles. And Biden continues, and his team is putting this nonsense out there, to say the reason is not because of government handouts of endless enhanced unemployment benefits that destroy the incentive to get off the couch and get out there and get a job, because you can do better sitting at home doing nothing and watching Netflix. You know, and they're trying to tell us, well, it happened on the Sunday shows when they trotted out Biden's Commerce Secretary, Gina Raimondo. She says it's nothing to do with the unemployment benefits being too much and destroying the incentive to work. That's not what it is. It's about workers who are just scared of getting COVID.
The number one reason now that people aren't going back to work is what you said, fear. Or they can't find childcare, or schools are still closed. So we'll monitor it as necessary, but right now we don't think that's the reason people aren't able to go back to work.
Do you buy that? I talk to employers all the time. We've had them calling in and texting in on this show last week. I remember it distinctly, saying, we can't get people to show up for job interviews. We can't fill positions. It's not just restaurants. I know a guy who runs a Hobby Lobby store that they're opening up, and he says, we had a job fair here. We couldn't get people to show up. Incredible. Hobby Lobby, one of the greatest places to work there is. I mean, people are just being disincentivized to work, and it's outrageous. Now, Biden, listen to Biden yesterday, President Biden here. He's still in denial about this. He's still in denial about it. And listen to the threat he makes, which absolutely will not work and cannot be checked and cannot be enforced.
Anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits. No one should be allowed to game the system, and will insist the law is followed.
There is no way to stop it, Joe, except to cut the tap of government subsidies of people who don't want to work. More in a moment. There is a big picture here, and if you want to talk about what you've heard, call us, text us, but I've got more to say in a moment. Headlines for you right now, and this is a fascinating story out of Polk County. Polk County is now the second fastest growing area in the country. New census numbers showing the Lakeland-Winter Haven metro area grew at the second fastest rate in the entire United States between 2019 and 2020. Only Austin, Texas grew faster than Polk County. Wow. Updates at least every 10 minutes on the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
I've got more to say on the big picture of the Biden administration's complete denial that enhanced and extended unemployment rates of benefits are the reason why people aren't getting out to work, and the disastrous job report in April is illustrative of that. I mean, that is clearly the reason here. But let's go to Matt in Claremont, who has an interesting take on this. Matt, you're on with the gang on Good Morning Orlando. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, I think some of these restaurant chains are milking the Paycheck Protection Plan, because I can go to restaurants where they're fully staffed, they have great service, and they're not part of a large chain. Maybe it's like a restaurant owner. He has like maybe six or eight restaurants, and he's fully staffed. But you go to the restaurant where you get the soup, salad, and breadsticks, and you have to wait outside. You have to, the manager's sitting in the back, and half of the restaurant is empty, unstaffed, while a bunch of people are waiting to get in. And this is just because they're making, it's like these CEOs want to make people suffer so they can collect the Paycheck Protection Plan. That's a load, because I'm just going to go to the privately owned restaurants, and these corporate chains that are pulling this game, I really don't like it.
That's an interesting take, Alan, that I have not heard before.
Yeah, and it falls in line with something I was going to bring up, that I think some businesses have taken advantage of the pandemic to downsize their workforce. I think they wanted to get rid of people, and now they see the pandemic as justification for doing that. And now what you have is a lot of people out of work who had good-paying, prestigious jobs, and now they're trying to find similar jobs at other companies who are doing the same thing, downsizing, cutting back their workforce, and they're not willing at this point, no matter what the unemployment compensation is, to transition to flipping burgers at McDonald's. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just trying to look at it realistically from the standpoint of these people who are out of work.
Realistically, Alan, you're right. And McDonald's isn't going to hire you or me when we walk in there as a, you know, a radio person. They're going to go, well, the first time a radio opens up, you're going to be gone. So we're not even going to get that job. Or the person who's been a banquet manager making 75 grand a year, one of our listeners I'm referencing who had called in the past when we bring this up, unemployment doesn't even begin to capture what they are lost. Mm-hmm. Their loss is there. And most of the time, the restaurant industry isn't going to bounce back. That's what I'm seeing. So those banquets and all that, not going to happen.
Yeah, but beyond the restaurant industry here, I understand fully why Governor DeSantis is not interested in raising the unemployment compensation or extending it in the state of Florida, because he wants people to go back to work and to get the unemployment rate down super low, below 4%. And there's no way to do it otherwise. And we hear all the time that you have places that just can't get people to show up for work, and they know what's going on. They're just sitting it out because they're doing okay. If you're making any, I know $32,000 a year in 2021 is not a ton of money, but the stats are that if you are making $32,000 or less, you will do better just sitting at home taking money from the government.
All right, I'll see you later.
Rent is paid, food is covered, you're fine. And that's the thing. You can't get these people to come off of their chairs when they're making $600 a week to go back to a job where they're clearing $350. It's not going to happen.
Here's the one reason there's a huge Biden blind spot on this, okay? Because he's from the left and his whole team is from the left here. These are liberal policies. They are partial to big government. Is good. Big government is the solution to every problem. They're into the welfare state. It doesn't work well in a free enterprise system like America at its best, because you wind up hurting the economy, you destroy individual initiative, you reduce productivity, and it winds up in the long run hurting the nation's overall standard of living. That's the problem with where the Biden regime is taking us. Bottom of the hour, Alan's got news coming up.
Who's to blame for hurting Florida's cruise industry? And an all-Florida Stanley Cup Series is set. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes at 627 on Good Morning Orlando.
6:30 on a Tuesday. We're glad you're with us on the 50,000-watt front porch. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Melissa Fox, Chris Vasquez. Alan, beginning your news update with breaking news. Charlie Crist displeased with Governor Ron DeSantis?
I know. I'm glad you're all sitting down for this story. Democratic candidate for governor, Charlie Crist. Yeah, he's running for governor, in case you haven't heard. He blames Republican incumbent Ron DeSantis for hurting Florida's cruise industry.
Crist is calling Florida's ban on vaccine passports a threat to business, as Norwegian Cruise Lines announced it will leave the state if it can't enact its own coronavirus passport for passengers. Crist says banning the passports hurts travelers' confidence in the safety of the ships. Meanwhile, the Attorney General, with the support of Governor DeSantis, is suing the CDC, saying its restrictions on cruising are what's hurting the industry. I'm Chris Trankman.
More on this with the cruise industry and who's got it right coming up a little later in this half hour, Alan.
All right, Bud. This news is brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. More children are next in line to be protected from the coronavirus. The FDA approved Pfizer's vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. A CDC committee will now make recommendations, and then vaccinations can begin immediately. About 20,000 pharmacies will give out the shots. Florida, meanwhile, is reporting just under 2,300 new cases of the coronavirus. There were 52 additional deaths. In South Florida, Broward County School Board members are expected to vote today on a separation agreement with Superintendent Robert Runcie. Under the deal, he would be terminated with cause, receive 90 days notice, get 20 weeks severance with multiple benefits paid. On top of that, Runcie would also get a lump sum payout.
$80,000 based on the statute that we talked about, and then $25,000 for lawyer fees.
Board Chair Dr. Rosalind Osgood says the attorney's fees would be paid up front but reimbursed if Runcie is found guilty of felony perjury.
So he walks out with over 700 grand. Am I right on that?
That's about what it comes down to.
That is stunning, Alan. Mm-hmm. I mean, and all for lying to a grand jury?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know, man. We're in the wrong line of work for openers.
Well, that's nothing new.
No, we love it. You know we do.
It's the first ever all-Florida playoff series in the NHL, and the Panthers will have the early advantage over the Lightning.
The Florida Panthers earned home ice advantage in the first-round playoff series against the Tampa Bay Lightning by defeating the Lightning 4-0 in Sunrise on Monday night. After the game, Coach John Cooper talked about how getting to the playoffs was always the goal.
In a unique year, kind of unprecedented year, with divisions switching around and you're only playing inside your division and locking horns with the same teams, and the guys buckled down and made the playoffs, and good on them.
So the Lightning and Panthers will begin their first-round playoff series in Sunrise. The schedule for that series to be determined. I'm Jason Behringer.
Is it just me, or does Tampa Bay Lightning coach John Cooper sound a lot like Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I just noticed that. WFLA news time is 6:34. You don't have to miss anything on Good Morning Orlando. Get caught up with our podcasts on the iHeartRadio app.
In a moment, I'm really concerned about the cruise industry here and that we may lose more cruise lines over this DeSantis CDC vaccine showdown. Let's talk about it next after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good Morning Orlando. Headlines on the coronavirus across the United States, more than 32.7 million cases in total now. More than 582,000 have died in Florida. More than 2.2 million cases, just under 2,300 new ones reported yesterday. Death toll statewide, 35,783, up by 52 from the last report. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories, and we do it for you all morning on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
Cruise industry's multi-billion dollar operation here in the state of Florida. I personally love cruising, so I'm partial to having the cruise industry here in the state. A lot of jobs tied up in it. It's just a great feature of Florida. Port Canaveral, Port Everglades, and Fort Lauderdale. Miami, to a lesser extent, Tampa. It's a huge deal, and there's a high-stakes game going on right now, and I'm really concerned about how this is going to turn out. I would hate the idea that we could lose the cruise industry, and it isn't just Norwegian Cruise Lines that's threatening to leave Florida and set sail from other places, whether it's the Bahamas or some island in the Caribbean or whatever it happens to be. There are other ones who are making rumblings as well. And while I love Governor DeSantis and think he has done a lights-out great job as governor, I'm really concerned about him with the cruise industry that I think is a different case because of the cruise environment from other businesses clinging steadfastly to the new Florida law where proof of vaccination shall not be required by any business. I get it with other businesses, but cruise ships are a petri dish for diseases, for viruses, for sicknesses. Norovirus been around for years. You know, COVID in close proximity, we know, is far more of a threat than it is in the open air. And you may say, well, you know, you stand on the deck of the cruise ship and you got the ocean breezes, but you spend a lot of your time packed into dining rooms, packed into entertainment venues and whatever on a cruise ship. I know. I've been on many, many cruises. I know how it is. I love them, but that's the reality. What I'm really concerned is you've got the CDC saying to the cruise industry, if you're going to have 95% of the passengers vaccinated before you can sail, 98% of the ship's crew. And the governor is saying no, no requirement for vaccines. I can't go with the governor on this. We want to save this industry. And I think these threats are real. I know that the head of, I guess it's Norwegian. Yeah, it's his CEO. Let me give you this quote. At the end of the day, cruise ships have motors, propellers, and rudders. And God forbid we can't operate in the state of Florida for whatever reason, that there are other places we can operate from. We can operate from the Caribbean for ships that otherwise would have gone to Florida. I think this is a real threat here. And I think the governor is doing a great job, but I think this needs to be a special case because of the special environment on a cruise ship, Melissa. And I think you have to have a situation where you require people to be vaccinated to be on the cruise ship. Because what could a worst case scenario be? You get one of these ships out there and all of a sudden the virus that is on the way and everywhere else just breaks out. And it's a very real prospect here if you got a ton of unvaccinated people. And we know what a nightmare that occurred in some of these cruises just at the start of the pandemic. You can't expect the cruise industry to put up with that possibility here. I think an exception needs to be made. What do you think? 407-916-5400, text line 23680.
Oh, hi. Cruising, yeah. You know, I don't
know. What's "oh, hi" mean?
I'm just thinking about this whole thing. And the reality of it was, hello, you have to be vaccinated and have your stuff up to, if you're going to leave the port and go anywhere near another country, normally you have to show all these things to have a passport. And I mean, I could be wrong because I don't travel out of the country very often. My job just doesn't allow it. But point is, I don't like the cruise ship industry. I love you guys, but most of them are from out of the country anyway. I mean, we've got a lot of people that are, you know, not even, they're international people that work, employees, most of them.
Well, that's true on board the ship. There's no question about it. But we got a tremendous number of people in the state of Florida who support the cruise industries and work in these port locations where the ships sail. I just think a cruise ship is a different environment, and I think an accommodation needs to be made. I think it only makes sense with the pandemic still a reality. What do you think? 407-916-5400. Text line 23680. Headlines out of the world of entertainment. The group behind the Golden Globe Awards is promising reforms after the award ceremony was dropped by NBC. The network said it will not air next year's, the 2022 Globes, because of a lack of diversity in the Hollywood Foreign Press Association that makes the awards. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Stay ahead of the storm with Operation Stormwatch on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
So I just think that an exception on the no vaccine passport law here in the state of Florida needs to be made for the cruise industry, or I think you will find them sailing elsewhere. And I think that's a loss we don't want to bear here. It also complicates cruising for those of us who would, you know, have to go fly to whatever the island is where the cruise ships then take off. This is all so unnecessary, Alan, for the reason, and Melissa has more to say too, but you just cruised in.
Yeah, you did.
Sailing in here from the newsroom.
I did.
And I want to ask you, do you agree with me that because of the unique environment of a cruise ship, a tremendous number of people packed into a small area, a lot of it indoors, not all of it, but a lot of it indoors, that you need to make an exception, and it is reasonable to demand and require that people be vaccinated before they get on the ship so you don't get a COVID explosion?
This is the problem, I think, with the governor's blanket ban on vaccine passports. I think each industry needs to be addressed individually. And I think, personally, that businesses should have the freedom of choice to decide who they want to allow in their business, to be customers in their business, and who they don't, based on whether someone is, A, wearing a mask, whether they agree to social distance, whether they've been vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure there should be any kind of ban. You know, we argue and we hear arguments that Americans are losing freedom of choice individually because of these protocols with the coronavirus. Don't businesses deserve the same consideration?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, cruise ships, like you said, Alan, have the ultimate decision where they can dock, what they can have their passengers do or don't do. They don't sail under the U.S. flag, boys, most of them. And cruise lines have said, yeah, we'll likely, you know, most likely vaccinate everybody, if not everyone on board. But his banning of the vaccination passport kindly goes against that. Can you verify if there's like a $5,000 fine or something included with this for every instance of them requiring vaccinations? There's something in the legislature there that bothers me.
I don't have the legislation in front of me. I cannot do that. I just don't think we want to chase a very attractive, important industry out.
Here it is. Yeah, the language of the bill states businesses can be fined $5,000 each for instances of requiring someone to be vaccinated.
What is that, like every day, every instant? What is that?
It looks that way, yeah. I mean, he's costing Floridians their livelihoods, their money now as well. These COVID restrictions and then this law, I mean, the whole way around, he's chasing businesses out of Florida. We should be vaccinating and wishing vaccinated people to come here.
Well, here you go on the text line. Agree with Bud 100% on the cruise situation. Another, I admire your stand on the vaccine requirement on cruises. Another, Bud, you are an idiot.
Oh, I wrote that. Sorry, did that go?
others say it's a complete bluff by the Norwegian cruise lines. And if it's not, there are numerous other cruise lines that would love for them to try to do that. Mm. There's a lot of cruise lines also making rumblings about doing exactly what Norwegian says they will do if they're in a situation where they are not allowed to sail out of Florida and require people to be vaccinated on board.
Alan, this texture reminds us that the freedoms that you're seeking went away with that whole I refuse to make a gay wedding cake fiasco.
Well, there's an interesting tie-in.
Wow, yeah. Going back a few years for that one.
Well, it still keeps coming back up, though.
Yeah. Memories.
And that's a bakery refused to make a gay wedding cake or something, and it's their right, their business. They can chase away their own customers if they want.
That's long been my theory, that businesses kind of have the ability and they should have the freedom to operate the way they want. Another point I wanted to make was, as an individual who might consider going on a cruise, I wouldn't consider going on a cruise if I didn't know everybody was vaccinated.
There's another point that's being raised here. Do you think, on the text line, do you really think that Floridians that drive to their port now are going to spend the extra money to fly to an island to get on a cruise ship? And the answer is, in massive numbers, no.
No.
Yeah, no.
No.
They'll still be cruising, but convenience is important in determining where we spend our money and how we spend it. And this is an unnecessary showdown by a governor I love, who I think's got a blind spot on this with the cruise industry and is overly dug in. This has got to be resolved, and you know how I believe it needs to be resolved. Something very special in the 7 o'clock hour, a new podcast on Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone, and nobody knew him better in this business than Bo Snerdly. And his real name is James Golden, and he fronts the podcast. You're going to hear all about it because it's just about to launch. It's coming up at 7. We'll be talking with Bo Snerdly. What about the news in the meantime?
What's behind a deadly Orlando shooting? And horse racing's Triple Crown continues in the wake of a drug scandal. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Top of the morning to you on a Tuesday at 7. Time now for another check on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1. Still on AM 540 and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, a deadly Orlando shooting turns out to be an apparent case of domestic violence. More in 1 minute.
Rush's sidekick, Bo Snerdly, next live on the 50,000-watt front porch on something very special. Stay tuned. It's Good Morning Orlando.
7:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. One man is dead and another under arrest in connection with a shooting outside an immigration office in Orlando. It's an apparent case of domestic violence that happened yesterday morning outside the building on Corporate Center Boulevard. Police Lieutenant Diego Toronto says a man and a woman were walking together when the woman's ex-husband fired shots at them from a passing car.
The male fell to the ground and was pronounced deceased at the scene. The female was able to escape.
The man killed is identified as 52-year-old Alberto Dominguez Ortiz. The suspect, 52-year-old Alberto Rivero Millan, was arrested in Kissimmee. In St. Augustine, sheriff's deputies have charged a 14-year-old boy with with the murder of a missing 13-year-old girl.
The suspect is under arrest. He's currently in custody with the Department of Juvenile Justice. He is charged with second-degree murder. We want to put our community at ease that we have that suspect in custody.
St. Johns County Sheriff Rob Hardwick says it's still early in the investigation and charges could be upgraded later. The victim, Tristan Bailey, was reported missing from her home early Sunday. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. President Biden insists the economy is moving in the right direction after losing more than 22 million jobs during the pandemic.
Our economic plan is working. I never said, and no serious analyst ever suggested, that climbing out of the deep, deep hole our economy was in would be simple, easy.
Biden speaking at the White House after the economy added 266,000 jobs in April, far below expectations. The president said there's not much evidence to suggest that people are staying home because of generous unemployment benefits, saying Americans want to work.
I couldn't agree less with the president and said so at six. We talked about it.
A family of swans may be reunited after a bizarre incident in downtown Orlando. A couple was at Lake Eola Park on Sunday when they saw a man take some baby swans and put them into a cooler. The couple says the man claimed to be a park worker, but they got suspicious and called police. Wow. Officers found the baby swans, but no arrest has been announced.
And they're okay.
Yes, the swans are okay.
Good to hear that.
And after a delay, we will now learn who will be in the field for Saturday's second leg of horse racing's Triple Crown.
The post draw for the 146th running of the Preakness was originally scheduled for yesterday, but was pushed to this afternoon amid the drama surrounding Kentucky Derby champ Medina Spirit, who's still facing potential disqualification stemming from a positive drug test. The Colts trainer Bob Baffert says Medina Spirit will still run the second jewel of the Triple Crown. As many as 10 horses are expected to be in the field for the Preakness, a significant scale back from the original 20 slated for the Kentucky Derby. Besides Medina Spirit, Midnight Bourbon appears to be the only other thoroughbred from the Derby field to likely take part in the Preakness Pack. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 7:04. The U.S. launches a probe into steering problems of more than 1 million Honda Accords. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app, now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Hour number two, Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Melissa Fox, Chris Vasquez. You know, I was just checking the calendar. Next Monday, it will mark 3 months since Rush Limbaugh succumbed to lung cancer that he battled heroically for more than a year since he announced his diagnosis. Almost 3 months he's been gone. Now, he's still a presence the way they're doing the noon to three shot time slot here, and the ultimate successor of Rush has not been determined. But we miss him so, and we know so many of our listeners do. In a moment, we're going to have a live interview with his sidekick on the air, Bo Snerdly is what Rush always called him, James Golden. And he's a terrific talent and a terrific guy. And he is the narrator and the front man for this new podcast that is about to launch. It's 12 episodes. It's Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. And to set the stage for James Golden joining us here on Good Morning Orlando in just a moment, this trailer.
No matter whether the news was good,
this is the happiest and the most optimist presentation,
or if it was bad,
it is popping. All kinds of things happening
in the middle of your day. He would be there.
The fastest 3 hours in media, Rush Limbaugh having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have.
33 years.
Instructing, teaching, informing.
33 years of telling the truth.
I think I just happen to be saying what a whole lot of people think. They don't have a chance to say themselves.
Of triumph.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom, the State of the Union address to Rush Limbaugh.
And now, tribute.
The man who has literally paved the way.
Talk radio icon Rush Limbaugh died today.
Losing his battle with lung cancer.
There is no talk radio without Rush Limbaugh.
33 years of excellence in broadcasting.
And in a moment, the man behind the podcast series that is about to begin, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. And we'll find out exactly what's within the podcast and how you can connect to it. It's coming up. It's almost 3 months.
But first, a chance to win some money with the $1,000 stimulus contest from News Radio WFLA Orlando. We're about to announce the very first keyword of the day, and all you have to do is listen to that keyword and then go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com. You'll see a box pop up where you can enter that keyword for your chance to win $1,000. We give you 12 opportunities a day to put a grand in your hand. Now, 7:07 on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlines, if it is joining us, we can tell you it appears a vote to recall Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her GOP leadership role is going to happen tomorrow. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy saying it is clear they need to make a change after Cheney said the presidential election wasn't stolen. And, of course, she was among those who voted to impeach Trump after the Capitol riot. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
As I said before the break, we're coming up on 3 months since we lost Rush Limbaugh to lung cancer. And I still miss him, and my heart is still heavy. And I imagine if you're a listener to this show and this radio station, WFLA, where we are freedom-loving Americans, that you miss Rush just as much or more as we do. He is gone, but he will never be forgotten. And with that in mind, we welcome his longtime on-air sidekick. Rush always called him Bo Snerdly. His name is James Golden, and it is great to have you with us this morning on Good Morning Orlando. Welcome to the show, James.
Well, thank you, bud, and good morning, freedom-loving Americans. I so love that.
WFLA. Melissa and I are anxious to talk with you, and Alan, if he can make it back from his duties in the newsroom, let's talk about this new podcast, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. What's in it? When does it begin? How do folks get to hear it?
Well, let's take the last first. Get the iHeart app and download it. You can do that tomorrow. The first episode appears tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also pick it up from wherever you listen to podcasts. But look, get the iHeart app, download it from iHeart. What is in it? What we try to do, Bud and Melissa, is to take a look at maybe some of the people that don't get the attention that I did behind the scenes, some of the other staff members, some of the people that were connected with the show, some of the executives on the show. We all have worked with Rush for decades, most of us, because we had so low turnover with us. You came on to work with Rush, and people stayed for decades. That was a testament to the kind of man he was, the kind of boss he was, and the way that he ran his enterprise. He hired great people, and he just let them do their thing. We'll also be talking with his family members. And what was it like, you know, hanging out with Rush on the golf course, his weekend? What did he do when he was off the air? We're going to be speaking with some of his golf buddies, some of his friends, and getting their perspectives on this man. I think in the end, though, what we'll do is reinforce what we already know about Rush. Those of us that are longtime listeners and fans, and I am both, is that he was not only an exceptional broadcaster with an amazing talent that was on loan from God,
yes,
but he was an exceptional man, generous, incredibly humble and grateful for the opportunities that were afforded to him that he was able to take advantage of. And he left us with a lot. His legacy is a lot. You know, one of the things that we would talk about occasionally, was that he was fired 5 different times or more during his rise to become the most successful. Now, think about that.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Most of us know how crushing it is to be fired from somewhere or to fail at something. Can you imagine failing at something you're passionate about over 5 different times, but yet still having the perseverance to pursue it and ultimately ending up being the most successful person at it
Absolutely, James, and there is a life lesson there for sure in Rush Limbaugh's climb to the top.
Yeah, we're talking with Beau Snerdly, who not even 3 months ago after Rush passed, the New York Times said, maybe he doesn't even exist. So how did you respond to that? And what happened when the New York Times found out that not only are you real, but you're a black man?
Well, see, here's the funny thing about the New York Times. They should go back and do research. I was on the cover of the New York Times Sunday magazine years ago as one of the opinion elite when Republicans took back the House. And they call me, with the association with Rush Limbaugh show. So, it was just sort of funny that these folks that are the supposed arbiters of all that is journalistically pure can't even do research on their own publication.
It's incredible. Hey, listen, before you go, let me ask you this. Do you know who's going to wind up filling the slot for Rush? And what about you, James? You've got the chops as a broadcaster. You've been in this game a long time. How about you for the Rush time slot? I would love to see that. Any chance that might happen?
Well, look, first of all, those are decisions that are made way above my pay grade. Right now, we're still on 600 radio stations. We have great guide hosts taking us through Todd Herman, Brett Winterbull, Ken Matthews, and the audience is still there with us listening. And there's a great producer, Ali, who's working every day to deliver these Rush clips that you hear in the show so that we still hear Rush's voice.
Okay.
And it's right on point on issue. So I think the future will unfold as it unfolds. I right now am focused on this podcast. I want to make sure that what listeners get meets their expectations, that it lives up to Rush's standard of excellence, and the future will take care of itself. But
well,
I'm so very, very grateful.
Well, this is very exciting to have you on the show, James Golden, a.k.a. Rush's sidekick, Beau Snerdly, for so many highly successful years. It's a 12-episode podcast. Begins tomorrow with episode one. Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone. Download the iHeartRadio app and listen. You will love it. James, thanks for your time, and God bless you, my friend.
God bless you and all freedom-loving Americans.
Sounds good to hear that. WFLA. We roll on with Good Morning Orlando and an update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes here on the 50,000-watt front porch. Check of headlines for you right now. A suspect in custody in connection with the death of a teenage girl in St. Johns County, Florida. 14-year-old Aiden Fucci is charged with second-degree murder now. The cause of 13-year-old Tristan Bailey's death yet to be determined. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories all morning right here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
Thanks again to our special guest, James Golden, a.k.a. Rush's buddy, Beau Snerdly, for so many years. That new podcast, very exciting, and The first episode's tomorrow. Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone, and I think the first one, as I understand it, Melissa, focuses on when Rush broke the news to the staff before he went on the air to say that I had been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and that is, from what I understand, where it all begins. But then it goes all the way back to remembrances of Rush's childhood and his early career, and then, you know, as the king of talk radio, and really the guy who saved AM radio, and is the reason we have shows, frankly, like this that are still available on AM radio. And, of course, we have multiple outlets with the iHeart radio app and FM 94.3, FM 93.1, 94.1. But at any rate, my question to you all and to you listening, who would you like to see take the Rush time slot from noon to 3 every day here and in those 600 stations across the country? I don't want to say replace Rush, because that is not doable, and no one would suggest that it is. Who would you like to see as the permanent occupier of the Rush Limbaugh time slot? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. And I wasn't just falsely flattering James Golden, because he has a history.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was a talk show host himself. Why not?
Snerdly?
Bo Snerdly, but why not James Golden? I don't know who else. I mean, there are others who've hosted the show so well. I don't know. Who do you think? And I think they're doing a really good job still having a Rush presence, and the hosts who are there every day kind of are guides, and they play old Rush clips that are amazingly relevant to an issue that we're talking about today. But they can't do that forever, and they know they can't do that forever. They've done it now for almost 3 months. Any ideas on who ought to take that time slot? 407-916-5400.
I think the most entertaining choice, and it's one that's been suggested before on this show, would be Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's not like he's doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't interrupt his golf game for just a couple of hours, and then it's really the hottest time
just
of the afternoon in Mar-a-Lago.
Set him up with a microphone at Mar-a-Lago, and he can go from there.
You know, I've got to tell you, it certainly would get a lot of ears off the top, and he's a great communicator. He is. Mm-hmm. You know, I have said before, Ronald Reagan, and I adored Ronald Reagan. I just, you know, great reverence for the Gipper. But I really thought, at his best, Donald Trump was a better communicator than Ronald Reagan. I truly did. You could not take your eyes or ears off him. That is actually a workable solution to this problem that they have. But I just don't know, given how much work it takes to do 3 hours of talk radio, and Rush to do it, you know, on his own all the time. I mean, you know, and I've done that, and it's not easy. I don't know whether Donald Trump wants to work quite that hard.
Well, that's another question altogether.
You know, I'm just saying
he would be an entertaining alternative, you know, but I think otherwise, you need to look at the entertainment value in addition to someone who's knowledgeable about the issues and is going to come from a similar viewpoint as Rush Limbaugh.
Yep.
Now, I get an idea, though, when you guys say about Donald doing this would be like the old-timey radio where you got your Burns and Allen. I'm not saying that Melania's Allen or anything. Gracie Allen.
My goodness.
But no, could you think about it? I think it would be hysterical. The two of them just sitting under an umbrella, just having coffee time. it would be listenable. And listening to Trump talk about the big lie or whatever, this and that and the other thing that's on his mind, I think it would be very workable.
Donald, we have a call from Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Yeah, we're not taking that.
All right. Let me very quickly. I only got 15 seconds for you. Dustin in Titusville, who do you want in that time slot? Quickly.
Hey, guys, you know, I love Donald Trump, but I just feel like if for 3 hours a day, he's going to say something dumb, okay? But I heard Dan Bongino floating around. I like that one.
Yep.
And Mark Stein. I think he'd be a great host.
Yep, he's enjoying his life in northern New England. I don't think he wants to work that hard either, but thank you. He does a good job, too, the Brit. Good morning, Orlando. It's Tuesday morning, bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. The Budman here turning it over for a news update. My co-host, Alan Spector. Man, prices at the pump are going up. Gas Bud says if you can see 285 or lower, get it, because you're not going to see it again for a while. What's going on with the gas prices?
Well, Florida drivers should brace for those gas prices to continue going higher. Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried said yesterday the increase is due in part to that cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline, which services much of the East Coast.
As one of the state agencies regulating gas stations, know that we are in close contact with federal and state agencies and the petroleum industry on this situation.
Fried says there's also a shortage of drivers to transport the fuel to gas stations, but she also says we should not panic buy, hoard gas, or form long lines at gas stations.
On this hack that shut down this pipeline, Rory O'Neill, our national correspondent, live at 7:42, 10 minutes.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. In the Middle East overnight, tensions are reaching a breaking point between Israel and Hamas. Fox's Amy Kellogg reporting from Jerusalem.
It all escalated when Hamas fired rockets all the way to Jerusalem, which for Israel, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stated it, is a red line. In all, well over 250 rockets have been fired towards Israel. The damage has actually been limited, but the fear has not been insignificant, and the sirens are constantly wailing all over the south. The Israeli response was quick. Airstrikes in the Gaza Strip targeting militant leaders and infrastructure. In all, 24 people at least have been killed, including 9 children.
And Hamas is threatening to send even longer-ranged missiles at Israel in the wake of last night's attack. In South Florida, the Broward County School Board is expected to vote today on a separation agreement with Superintendent Robert Runcie.
Under the deal, Runcie would be terminated with cause, receive 90 days notice, get 20-week severance with sick, vacation, medical, and pension time included, along with a nearly $80,000 lump sum payout.
It also includes paying the attorney fees through the indictment up front and being reimbursed if Mr. Runt is not found successful.
Board Chair Dr. Roslyn Osgood says the district would cap legal fees at $25,000. Runcie formally pleaded not guilty and has asked a judge to dismiss the felony perjury charge, accusing him of lying to a grand jury investigating the Parkland massacre. Wendy Grossman, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
The Magic try to snap a three-game losing streak at Milwaukee tonight. It's the first of four road games to wrap up Orlando's season. WFLA News Time, 7:34. Elsewhere. The votes are in. Yeah, with all the votes tallied up, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's fan vote ballot is ready to be cast. Tina Turner is topping the charts yet again with more than 585,000 votes. Second is the late Nigerian musician Fela Kuti, followed by the Go-Go's, then Iron Maiden and the Foo Fighters are fifth. And those final official fan ballots will be announced tomorrow.
Man, they have taken early voting to a whole new level here. I mean, how long have the polls been open on this thing?
I think about 3 years.
Seems like it.
And no problem.
Cootie Watch 2021.
Yeah. You were gone last week, I made sure to let them know that the first leg of the voting had finished and they narrowed it down for real. And then today and, of course, then tomorrow's the final. So yeah. I didn't want that to I knew people were worried about it in your absence.
But and then still to be determined are the actual inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which may or may not be any of these people.
Because the fans don't get the final call.
They get a small percentage of like a vote
right
in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame voting.
Like 0003.
Something like that. This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away. A yacht formerly owned by film star John Wayne is slowly sinking off the coast of Washington State. The U.S. Coast Guard says Wayne's old boat is partially submerged off the north coast of Henry Island in San Juan County. The 76-foot vessel started taking on water after suffering heavy damage to its hull in mid-April. And when the Duke finds out who's responsible, look out.
Pilgrim, you caused a lot of trouble this morning. Might have got somebody killed. And somebody ought to belt you in the mouth. But I won't. I won't. The hell I won't.
John Wayne's old yacht is currently being held in place by multiple anchors. The Coast Guard has ordered the yacht's owner to work on salvaging the boat.
Great sound cut. I could see it all when you played that. I can't even remember what flick it's from, but it was McClintock or something.
It's a classic Wayne
clip. Yeah, and he lets them have it.
Yeah, hell, I won't.
It's great.
Yeah, and finally, an Illinois organization is combating Chicago's rat problem with the help of stray cats.
Stray cats, John, I'm a
police cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova.
Hey, man, that's that.
Get a shoe thrown at me from a mean old man. Get my dinner from a garbage can.
No, not those stray cats.
Oh, bummer.
Treehouse Humane Society has released more than 1,000 stray cats on the streets of Chicago since 2012. Orkin has named the Windy City the rattiest in the country for the past 6 years. The group said they started the Cats at Work program as a safe alternative to poison. The group places 2 to 3 neutered or spayed cats in an area to help with rodents. And then local business owners become responsible for feeding the cat and keeping it sheltered.
Guess the Orkin folks ought to know where the rattiest city in America is.
Yeah, at least
is that a word?
It's not here.
Rattiest.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Most ratty.
Yeah.
What are you playing King's English with me in there?
Kind of hyphenated.
Who woke Vasquez up? What was that?
Rat infested.
Rattiest.
Rattiest.
Wow.
Yeah. Use that in a sentence.
We.
Find more on it's amazing what provokes Chris Vasquez.
Wait till you mess up the time again.
It's the least thing you would expect anyone to take notice of.
Radius, is that a word?
And his ears perk up.
I also call him the clock Nazi because he's the guy who watches to make sure we're on. And this is what's waking him and provoking him right now. Mm-hmm. We're running late.
And we're doing it on
purpose
now. People
demand the right time.
We're doing it right now just to get under his skin.
Well, find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector.
So what's the deal on this cyber attack that took out this big pipeline and maybe driving up gas prices? But that's only the beginning of why this is an important story. Our national correspondent and good friend Rory O'Neill is all over the story. And stay tuned because we'll talk with him and you will get the benefit of his wisdom because he knows what he's talking about. We'll get to it in a moment right after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes here on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines now. More children are next in line to be protected from coronavirus. The FDA approved Pfizer's vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. The CDC committee is now going to make recommendations, and then vaccinations can begin immediately. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
My man Alan and Melissa are ready to talk with our man, national correspondent Rory O'Neill, on the big story this morning nationally about this cyber attack that has shut down a major East Coast pipeline. Rory, get folks up to speed, if you can, in summary to explain exactly what happened here.
Sure. Good morning, Bud. A company based in Georgia called Colonial Pipeline operates a 5,500-mile line that runs from Texas across Louisiana and Georgia up through the Carolinas all the way to New York. It carries about 100 million gallons a day, 45% of all the fuels consumed on the East Coast, including gas, diesel, jet fuel, and heating oil. Well, a Moscow-based hacking group called DarkSide managed to hack into the company's systems and is now demanding payment in order to release those systems. Colonial says they are restarting their pipeline operations and hope to be fully operational again by the end of the week.
Can I ask you before I give it to Alan, did they pay the ransom or don't we know?
We don't know. And even now, if they deny it, everyone, I think, will be suspicious.
Yeah. And Rory, it's the feds seem to think it was a Russian group that's behind this.
Yeah, so DarkSide is based in Russia. We don't think they're affiliated with the Kremlin and Putin. President Biden and President Putin, though, are expected to have a call today. It will be tough to track them down, being operating in a foreign country. It'll be tough to get them, our FBI to go after them.
Hey, Rory, quick question about gas prices. We were alluding that they're going to rise, but are some places going to have a drop in prices?
Well, because of this refinery operations in Texas and Oklahoma and Louisiana, they can't ship their processed gasoline out across the country. So actually, they may have too much of it in Texas and Louisiana and Oklahoma. So actually, some of the prices there for fuel may actually start coming down because of a glut.
And Rory, AAA was saying yesterday in a news release that they didn't think Florida would be impacted quite as soon as other areas because the Colonial Pipeline basically does not serve the Sunshine State.
Right. We get most of our fuel from barges that come from the New Orleans area in Louisiana. So we are mostly barge fed. The pipeline runs north of us. So it does service the panhandle. But also look out because of that jet fuel system. Seven airports are on that line. So yeah. Atlanta Hartsfield is one of them.
Yeah, thank you, Rory, very much. Very disturbing that our infrastructure can be disabled this way. They need to figure out how to prevent that kind of thing from happening again. But that's the latest on what's going on with the Colonial Pipeline from our News Radio WFLA national correspondent, Rory O'Neill. Rory, as always, thank you so very much.
Thanks, bud.
You bet.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando. Tuesday morning on the 50,000-watt front porch. So glad you're with us here at 8 for our latest check on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic. Here and now on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540 and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, what's behind a deadly Orlando shooting? More in 1 minute.
Word is, it's a woke world at Disney now, and a lot of workers aren't happy. What's it all about? Stay tuned. We'll talk about it with you on Good Morning Orlando.
8:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. A deadly shooting in Orlando appears to be a case of domestic violence. Police say it happened yesterday morning as a man and a woman were walking outside an immigration office on Corporate Center Boulevard.
A Hispanic male suspect drove up, confronted the Hispanic female and the Hispanic male, fired some shots.
Police Lieutenant Diego Toronto says 52-year-old Alberto Dominguez Ortiz was killed, but the woman was not hurt. The suspect, 52-year-old Alberto Rivero Millian, was arrested in Kissimmee. He is the woman's ex-husband.
Tragic story, but a terrifying situation for everybody at that facility yesterday. They were in a panic.
Yeah, and when you think about it being a government office, an immigration facility, the first thing you think is some kind of terrorism might be involved.
Exactly. Domestic, though.
Yeah. A suspect is in custody in connection with the death of a teenage girl in St. John's County. Sheriff Rob Hardwick urging patients.
Let this case go through the process and go through the system. Let us do our jobs. Let the medical examiners do their job. And let the state attorney's office prosecute this case.
A 14-year-old boy is charged with second-degree murder. The cause of 13-year-old Tristan Bailey's death is yet to be determined. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. President Biden claims the economic recovery from the COVID pandemic is on track.
Because of the American Rescue Plan, forecasters are projecting we'll see the fastest economic growth in nearly 40 years in the months to come.
The economy added 266,000 jobs in April. That was far below expectations. Biden said monthly job reports are snapshots and do not necessarily reflect economic trends.
Budman said at 6 o'clock this morning, it's all about the unemployment benefits that are allowing folks to sit home on the couch, you know, eat Cheez-Its and not look for work.
Well, Joe says it ain't so, Bud. So what are you going to do about it?
Say it ain't so, Joe, as someone once said.
Right. A plan to reform auto insurance could drive up costs for Florida residents. The American Property Casualty Association released a report that found eliminating personal injury protection premiums would cost drivers an extra $344. Currently, drivers have to buy PIP, but a state Senate bill would eliminate that requirement. A longtime figure at Kennedy Space Center is moving to a new position in Washington. NASA announcing yesterday that KSC Director Bob Cabana is being promoted to its number 3 position, Associate Administrator, effective next week. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson says Cabana will be responsible for bringing more commercial activity to NASA like he did at KSC. And it looks like a former Florida Gator football star's return to the NFL is set to become official.
We brought you the story last month that Tim Tebow had been working out with the Jacksonville Jaguars in preparation of an NFL comeback. Now the Jags are close to finalizing a deal with the Heisman-winning quarterback that will see him transition to the role of tight end. Tebow has not played for an NFL team since his time at training camp with the Philadelphia Eagles in 2015, going on to explore a professional baseball career, retiring from that sport earlier this year. This return to football would reunite Tebow with his former University of Florida head coach Urban Meyer, who is entering his first season at the helm of the Jaguars. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:04. Homeland Security launches a new warning system to find domestic threats on social media. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Speaking of social media, at WFLA Orlando. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app, now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Tebow hooking on with the Jags. Is this going to work, guys, or not?
You know, to me, the question is this about football, about the Jaguars trying to improve themselves, or are they trying to improve ticket sales and merchandise sales.
Oh, you cynic.
Maybe they'll win a game.
By employing their homeboy, Tim Tebow, who grew up in Jacksonville, was a big high school star there before going on to Gainesville.
Well, Urban Meyer right now is getting crushed. You spend your second of two first-round picks on a running back you claim is going to be your third-down back.
What do you mean he's getting crushed? What do you mean?
Well, his tenure in Jacksonville is not off to a good start. You draft someone in the first round, and he claims he's going to play one down.
You make it sound like somebody just tossed him into a wood chipper or something.
Well,
and then you're bringing in Tim Tebow, who could potentially, whether he meant to or not, add unintentional pressure to Trevor Lawrence, because you have all the Tebow fanatics who think
Tim
Tebow.
The number one
Trevor
draft
Lawrence,
pick.
Yes.
Wait, how many outs do we get? Oh, I'm sorry.
Wrong sport. He's not playing that anymore.
Baseball
didn't work. Made it to Triple A. Didn't hook on with the Mets at the major league level. He's been out of football since 2012.
That's
Do you think he can still play?
3 days, by the way, since he played in the NFL. 3,053 days.
Well, you know the thing about...
Well, he's not all beat up then from all those years of playing. Maybe that's a good thing.
That works in his favor. He doesn't have a 34-year-old NFL body.
Do you think he'll start?
No.
Hey, look, co-owner Tony Khan says he thinks Urban really does believe in Tebow. So, I mean, anything's worth a game win.
Now, didn't Tim Tebow have a chance to be the quarterback for the Jaguars back in 2012 and he turned him down?
That I don't go that far back. I know there was a lot of hype surrounding him when he came out of the draft, and then the Broncos surprised everyone and took him in the first round.
I know you're young. 2012 was only 9 years ago.
Stop.
That is time ago, Alan.
Here's some more trivia for you. Last game Tebow played in the NFL was against David Carr.
Where is he now?
Where'd that guy go?
Well, anyway, we're talking about the woke world down at Disney. Not just a small world after all, it's a woke world after all. And some workers say they're having some stuff crammed down their throats as employees that they don't like. We'll lay it all out and see what you think and take calls. Love to hear from Disney employees on this. 407-916-5400 is our number. Text line 23680. It's the time for our contest right now, Alan, and that's your department.
Yeah, we want to cram some cash down your wallet. It's the $1,000 stimulus contest from News Radio WFLA Orlando, which continues in moments with our latest keyword. All you have to do is take that keyword to our website, WFLAOrlando.com. Once you go there, you'll see a box pop up. You enter the keyword there for your opportunity to put a grand in your hand, something you have up to 12 chances to do every day right here. It's 8:08 on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlining a story I expect will be a hot topic for us here tomorrow on Good Morning Orlando. It looks like a vote to recall Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her GOP leadership role is going to happen tomorrow. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy says it is clear they need to make a change after Cheney said the presidential election was not stolen from Trump. Of course, she also voted to impeach the former president. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories are promised to you right here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
We've told you about this new program they've unveiled internally at Disney for their employees called Reimagine Tomorrow, and it is all about inclusion, okay? Well, now there's a new dimension that has surfaced, and the organization that has broken this story, and the New York Post has picked up on it, and I think that's a good sign, is the City Journal. It's a conservative publication out of New York. It's got creds. It's been around for about 30 years. I'm going to read from an article they've put out and see what you think. And I'd love to hear from some Disney employees. And I know you're out there listening. You can enjoy the anonymity on the radio and let us know whether this is what's going on down there and how you feel about it. 407-916-5400 on the phone. Text line 23680. You don't have to add your first name in town, but you can if you'd like. Here's what they have. The City Journal. It's a woke world after all, not just a small world after all. Disney is pushing critical race theory on employees through this new plan called Reimagine Tomorrow, urging workers to recognize their white privilege in a battery of training modules on topics like systemic racism. Staffers are told to reject equality for equity and must reflect on America's racist infrastructure and think carefully about whether or not their wealth is derived from racism. In one anti-racism training course, it is reported, called Allyship for Race Consciousness, workers are taught that the U.S. has a long history of systemic racism and transphobia. I'm not exactly sure what that is, and told that they must take ownership of educating yourself about structural anti-black racism, that staffers should not rely on your black colleagues to educate you. Disney recommends its staffers hit the books, suggesting one essay that encourages parents to commit to raising race consciousness in children, and which teaches that even babies discriminated against members of other races. This reportedly has led to sky-high tensions among workers at Disney. Staffers are terrified about speaking out against the ideology because they think they're going to lose their jobs, that there are almost daily memos, suggested readings, panels, seminars, all centered around anti-racism. One worker saying the company is completely ideologically one-sided and actively discourages Christian and or conservative workers from speaking their mind. One more note here. This is from the New York Post reporting on the same story. There's a module called What Can I Do About Racism? Tell employees that they should reject equality instead of strive for equity. That's part of what I just reported before. Employees are urged to reflect on America's racist infrastructure and to think carefully about whether or not your wealth, income, treatment by the criminal justice system, employment, access to housing, health care, political power, and education might be different if you were of a different race. The document reportedly claims that certain values like competition, individualism, timeliness, and comprehensiveness help to perpetuate white supremacy culture.
That's it. I'm late tomorrow morning.
Man, I've got to tell you, man, I don't want this stuff crammed down my throat like it is reportedly being done at Disney. Now, is this happening anywhere where you work? If you work at Disney, does this ring true with you, and how do you feel about it? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Central Florida headlines for you right now. Listen to this. Polk County, home to one of the fastest growing areas in the entire country. New census numbers showing the Lakeland-Winter Haven metro area grew at the second fastest rate in all of the United States between 2019 and 2020. Only Austin, Texas grew faster. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
I asked for Disney employees to call me and tell me if what is being reported in the City Journal and the New York Post is accurate, that they are cramming critical race theory down employees' throats at Disney in an aggressive training here. That basically if you're white, you're racist, and you need to get in touch with it and do something about it. Here is Tim in Orlando, going by that name, essentially wants to be anonymous for obvious reasons. He is a Disney employee. Chris, does what I am telling you that is being reported ring true to you?
Definitely. I get the emails, which I just delete them. I don't feel like being indoctrinated in this kind of way.
You think that's so risky? I mean, what about these modules, these training modules? I mean, do you have to essentially take tests and pass them and get the right answers to stay on the payroll or what?
Well, the ones that I get, it's voluntary for us to listen while we're working, because I have to keep on working on the computer, so I can't stop, but I can listen to some of those.
Okay.
I won't do it. I just refuse to do it. And I've already had a meeting with management, and I told them, don't let the color of my skin fool you. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm very light-skinned, but we are a rainbow of flesh tones, and this indoctrination I don't appreciate. Also, as a conservative and a Christian, I don't feel I have the freedom to speak out my mind, you know, anywhere, but we have our few. We're kind of like the underground.
What kind of reaction do you get when you go to management and say what you just said to me?
The eyebrows went up, but I think it's I think because I am Latino, I think they're afraid of doing anything because I am minority, even though to look at me, you couldn't tell. Mm. but I am, you know, I am what I am. And she asked me and I spoke my mind out and we left that at that. I said, I come here to do my job, to do what the company pays me to do. Don't indoctrinate me on stuff because you know I do a good job. And let's leave it at that. So she was good with that.
So, Tim, if it's happening at Disney World, do you figure it's probably across the ESPN and World of Sports and all that, too?
That I can't confirm.
Yeah.
I'm not high enough on that level to find out. And like I said, I'm just concerned about, you know, myself. Mm-hmm. And an example of some of the stuff is when I went back after being furloughed, I had to sit through a video of the whole COVID thing. And towards the end of the video, you know, it suggests, you know, stay away from large gatherings like bars and weddings and churches. On the churches, I had to clench my teeth.
Yeah. Tim, are there other employees at Disney who feel the way you do, or are you kind of a lone wolf in this?
I am not a lone wolf, even in my office. So we know who to talk to with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We don't blurt anything out. You know, the liberals can go ahead and say things out loud, and that's all woke. The rest of us, we talk to each other. Now, they know who we all are, but we're not going to get into any kind of... apart from, you know, stuff like that, we all get along.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it sounds like a pretty intimidating situation there. And God bless you for hanging in there and for calling us this morning. Tim from Orlando, we do appreciate it. Wow. You know, it's interesting. There's a real irony here, too, when you think about it, that the folks who run Disney, for the most part, are among the richest, most powerful and privileged white guys you'll find. And they're running this stuff down the throats of employees. Can I just say at iHeartMedia, we do training periodically, many, many companies do, about what standards are, what practices are, et cetera, what the expectations are and what company policies are. I've never felt it was heavy-handed in the area of race. They just essentially say, we don't discriminate and we're not going to tolerate it. We have zero tolerance for it. And that's about enough of a message as far as I'm concerned. And I'm happy with that. And they don't overdo it.
Yeah, and I have no problem with education. The problem is, who is determining what the proper thing to teach these Disney employees is? You referred to it as critical race theory. It's not fact. It's theory.
Yeah.
True. The only thing that really bothers me, and it's theory, I'm sorry, is the Disney Corp has become a leftist, communist sympathizing cluster and embraced the same stuff that Walt Disney absolutely despised. Timeliness is a symptom of white supremacy? My goodness.
Companies changed a lot. Alan, news at the bottom of the hour.
Who's to blame for hurting Florida's cruise industry? And an all-Florida Stanley Cup playoff series is set. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes. Now 8:28 on Good Morning Orlando.
Tuesday edition of Good Morning Orlando. So glad you're with us. The Budman, Alan, the Fox, and Chris till 9 o'clock. Lots to come. And Alan with a news update right now. This whole issue of trying to get the cruise industry sailing and up and running again is becoming a big political football here in Florida.
Turning into a blame game, Bud. Democratic candidate for governor, Charlie Crist. Yes, he's a congressman. He's now running for governor. And he blames Republican incumbent Ron DeSantis for hurting Florida's cruise ship industry.
Crist is calling Florida's ban on vaccine passports a threat to business. As Norwegian Cruise Lines announced, it will leave the state if it can't enact its own coronavirus passport for passengers. Chris says banning the passports hurts travelers' confidence in the safety of the ships. Meanwhile, the Attorney General, with the support of Governor DeSantis, is suing the CDC, saying its restrictions on cruising are what's hurting the industry. I'm Chris Trankman.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. More children are next in line to be protected from coronavirus. The FDA approved Pfizer's vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. A CDC committee will now make recommendations, and then vaccinations can begin immediately. About 20,000 pharmacies will give out the shots. Florida, meanwhile, is reporting just under 2,300 new cases of the coronavirus. There were 52 additional deaths. In South Florida, Broward County school board members are expected to vote today on a separation agreement with Superintendent Robert Runcie. Under the deal, he would be terminated with cause, receive 90 days notice, get 20 weeks severance with multiple benefits paid. And on top of that, Runcie would also get a lump sum payout.
$80,000 based on the statute that we talked about. And then $25,000 for lawyer fees.
Board Chair Dr. Rosalind Osgood says those lawyer's fees would be paid up front but reimbursed if Runcie is found guilty of felony perjury.
From what I'm hearing, when you add it all up, all the benefits and all the lawyer's fees, everything else, we're talking $700,000 as an exit pass. Package. I'm choking on this, Alan. I mean, because he's being terminated with cause. Incredible.
And he gets a golden parachute.
Yeah.
Wow. And
it's the first ever all-Florida playoff series in the NHL, and the Panthers will have the early advantage over the Lightning.
The Florida Panthers earned home ice advantage in the first-round playoff series against the Tampa Bay Lightning by defeating the Lightning 4-0 in Sunrise on Monday night. After the game, Coach John Cooper talked about how getting to the playoffs was always the goal.
In a unique year, kind of unprecedented year, with divisions switching around and you're only playing inside your division and you're locking horns with the same teams, and the guys buckled down and made the playoffs, and good on them.
So the Lightning and Panthers will begin their first-round playoff series in Sunrise. The schedule for that series to be determined. I'm Jason Barringer.
WFLA News Time is 8:35. Elsewhere. Good news, you can get paid to nap. No, it's not a dream. This is a new job being offered from the mattress review company each night. Five people will get $1,500 each to take naps every day for 30 days. They'll have to test out different benefits of napping, such as the effect it has on memory, motivation, and productivity. Other duties include video calls before and after each sleep. Those interested must apply on the Each Night website by May 31st.
I feel like I can make a living doing these sleep studies. I feel like it's every other week we're getting one of these for like $1,500, you know, test out napping. I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how that job is different from the one you have now.
He doesn't have to take notes.
All right, I got you, Alan.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
I couldn't resist.
It was easy.
Remember, he's the clock Nazi. He's going to get you in there.
Yeah, man. But he's on vacation the next week or so. So
you're going to be off all week, aren't you? It's going to bother me.
Yeah, I'm going to start giving Pacific time. An Australian politician has lost a copyright battle with an American rock band. An Australian court has ordered Clive Palmer to pay about $1.2 million in damages to Universal Music for the unauthorized use of this 1984 hit by Twisted Sister. We're Not Gonna Take It was used in a political ad for Palmer's United Australia Party in 2019. Palmer claimed the song in the ad was based on the Christmas carol, O Come All Ye Faithful.
What? Duh.
The judge called Palmer's defense ludicrous and high-handed.
Wait a minute. O come all ye...
We're not going.
Oh, no way.
It's close, but not really.
Oh, I know, Mike. It is close.
Yeah, it's a bit of a reach, though.
By the way, that would be Adeste Fidelis by King Henry VIII, I believe.
That was good.
After the verdict, Twisted Sister frontman Dee Snider tweeted, "It's over, baby. We won big."
Yeah.
And finally, visitors to Dracula's castle in Romania can now get a COVID-19 vaccine there as well. It's reported that medical professionals adorned with fang stickers are administering Pfizer shots to guests at Bran Castle. The 14th century castle in the Carpathian Mountains is believed to be inspiration for the villain's home in Bram Stoker's novel Dracula.
I am Dracula.
Yep.
I bid you welcome. Listen to them.
Yeah.
Children of the night.
Oh.
What music they make.
Officials of Dracula's Castle say the vaccination drive is meant to pull in tourism, which has plummeted during the pandemic. Visitors on weekends in May get a shot and then a complimentary tour of a medieval torture exhibit.
I'm surprised they haven't set up a blood mobile or something there.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little needle in the arm. It won't hurt a bit.
Yeah, you feel free to donate at the door.
Okay, Chris, your
turn.
Dracula impression?
No, you don't want to hear that. I was just going to say the way that they would administer shots, they should set it up like fangs, you know, in honor of Dracula.
Yeah, not with just stickers.
I like the way you think.
Thank you.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Island Spector.
I want to suck your blood.
Ah, yeah, you're okay. Right. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Hey, the Monkees. Remember the Monkees? They were kind of a TV Beatles ripoff group, right? They had a series. They got a cult following. They're reuniting, and they are having a concert in Central Florida. Free tickets to see the Monkees. That's our new Sound Judgment prize in a moment. You better call in now because we're going to have a lot of folks who want those tickets. 407-916-5400, 407-916-5400. You're going to see the Monkees if you're our Sound Judgment winner. The game after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes here on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines as we get ready to play our game. Tim Tebow on track for a return to pro football. NFL Network reporting the Jacksonville Jaguars are planning to sign the former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback as a tight end. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
This portion of News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Come, walk down the street. Get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
The Monkees.
Hey,
yeah, and they're coming back. They're reuniting, and they got a concert, and we're giving away tickets. And here's the Sound Judgment question that could earn you the tickets. If you're trying to get in, all the lines are jammed, of course, you would expect. It's a great prize. Wrong answer opens one up at 407-916-5400. Let's play the game. Actually, we're on a serious note here for today's Sound Judgment question. It focuses on an airline disaster in Florida that made headlines worldwide. I remember it well. This is the anniversary of the ValuJet crash in the Everglades that killed all 110 people on board shortly after the plane took off from Miami. Listen to the sound of an eyewitness on that grim day describing what he saw, and then use your sound judgment to tell me this. How many years ago today was the ValuJet crash, and was this heard on the news?
Then I saw the swept back wings, and it was on a like a 75 degree bank angle down. When it hit the ground, the water and dirt flew up.
And you saw no signs of survivors at that point, either?
No, there's nothing could have survived that.
ValuJet crash, terrible tragedy in the Everglades. How many years ago today did that happen? Carmelo, you're first up on Sound Judgment. How many years ago was it?
I guess 15 years.
No, longer ago than that, but thanks for trying. There's your open line at 407-916-5400 for Monkees reunion tickets. Scott, you're next. How many years ago today?
25.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 25 years ago today.
Great.
Said 25.
It's 25.
Correct. 25, right? Yes, absolutely. May 11th, 1996. Scott, more on this prize you've won on Sound Judgment.
Congratulations, Scott. You've won a pair of tickets to see the Monkees Farewell Tour with Michael Nesmith and Mickey Dolan Sunday, October 10th at the Hard Rock Live.
Very nice.
Very cool. Monkees tickets all week long. That's a pretty cool reunion. A lot of folks are going to be into that.
Hey, hey, we're the Monkees, as you mentioned, a made-for-TV band in the mid-60s. Sort of a takeoff on the Beatles and their antics in A Hard Day's Night, that movie. But they took off on their own, the Monkees did, and had hit after hit after hit.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember Jimi Hendrix opening for them. That was pretty cool. But I just want to say, Alan, I'm not your stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
So get on the last train to Clarksville. I'll meet you at the station.
Well, Melissa, I'm a believer.
Are
so,
you?
Yeah. Okay, you guys. Headlines we've been talking about, Disney going woke. The group behind the Golden Globe Awards is promising reforms now after the award ceremony was dropped by NBC. The network said it would not air the 2022 Golden Globes because of a lack of diversity in the Hollywood Foreign Press Association responsible for determining who the Golden Globe winners are. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Use your smart speaker. Tell Alexa to play News Radio Orlando from iHeartRadio.
One hot topic after another, and the best audience in talk radio checking in Disney and what is reported now. They're pushing critical race theory on their employees and all kinds of training modules, to guilt trip the white employees, to let them know that they're probably racist just because they're white, et cetera, et cetera. What kind of reaction are we getting on the text line to this?
Oh, a lot of different stuff. It's happening at Walt Disney World. Your caller, Tim, stated at Disney had better look out. We also have, isn't it racist to say everyone with white skin is racist? There is so much on here. Hang on just a second. I'm looking at a car chase.
Oh, this is a good one. I like when Tim said that I come here to do my job, do it well, earn a living, and not get indoctrinated.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one.
That's a reasonable expectation at work, I think.
Well, yeah. Here's one that says, my white mother was dirt poor, no food stamps or welfare, grew up with no electricity nor running water, didn't always have enough to eat in New Jersey in the 1930s. Explain to me how she was privileged.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Here's another one that says, if Disney truly believed their systemic racism, they should give out free admission to all African Americans for life. Let's see how fast that happens. Here's one about the vaccine we've been talking about.
Uh-huh.
It opened up now. I think they're talking about for Wednesday. Can you confirm, Alan, 12 plus? Or
well,
still
sometime
talking?
This week they'll be available.
The FDA has approved it. The CDC has to check in with their recommendations, and then it should begin sometime this week is expected.
It's not a case of if, it's a case of when now.
Exactly.
Right, this one here says that no child needs the experimental vaccine. So,
well, here is a one-word texting poll. You want to leg up on tomorrow's show because starting at 6, we're going to leave the polls open for 3 hours. And basically, we're going to ask you this question. Pfizer's got the okay for its vaccine to be administered to kids 12 years of age and up. Question, do you want your kids and grandkids to get the shots? You'll be able to text yes or no tomorrow on the show. So be ready to go on that, and I'm sure we'll have a conversation beyond the yes or no aspect of it. And it'll be very interesting to see that. I mean, I can see advantages to it, but I could also see resistance to it. And not just the anti-vaxxers, just an idea of kids are young, and how do we know what it might do to them, once they're adults?
The Johnson & Johnson also on this lab for this, like the one and done? I think it's both Pfizer and the J&J that were being tossed around.
For 12 and up, but I think the only green light out there is Pfizer. I could be wrong.
Right. It's just Pfizer for now.
I think you may have some of this in the pipeline.
Okay.
Have some of this in the pipeline. Some of you are hardcore on the 50,000-watt front porch, and you know what we've been talking about since you've been here, since we played the national anthem to kick the show off at 5:58 a.m., as we proudly have done every morning since I've hosted this show, nearly 20 years. But some of you check in when time permits, and a little of you are, you're kind of sleeping in a little bit, so you miss some of the stuff early. I laid it out there for you. President Biden's bad jobs report, and it was horrendous, I believe, and he does not, is a product of the fact that they have these extended enhanced unemployment benefits that have disincentivized people to get off the couch and go find work.
Yeah.
And companies are crying for workers. So we got into that debate. And you've had a number of news items, Alan, on the situation with the cruise industry and a showdown between the CDC, the cruise industry, and Governor DeSantis. Governor DeSantis doesn't want anybody to be required to have vaccines. I make the case that a cruise ship is a special environment and that it's a reasonable thing to have people vaccinated to keep the coronavirus from erupting where it otherwise might not.
Yeah, and I said that I really oppose the whole idea of a blanket ban on vaccine passports. This should be addressed individually, according to different industries and their needs and desires. And basically, I think the same way people say, well, I should have the freedom to wear a mask or not, or get vaccinated or not, I think businesses should have the freedom to say who will and will not be able to take part in their company.
You know, my favorite part of the show, aside from elsewhere in the end, I'm just kidding, was when we had Bo Snerdly on there. No, we talked to James Golden, Bo Snerdly. That was awesome. And also we learned a lot about the gas prices and the pipeline being hacked and how that probably won't have anything to do with us. And all of this can be found on our podcasts, the Good Morning Orlando podcast, the Elsewhere podcast with Alan Spector, and all of that can be found on our website at WFLAOrlando.com.
It was great to have James Golden on, Bo Snerdly, Russia's sidekick for so many years. And he begins narrating and hosting a 12-part podcast tomorrow, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone. Download the iHeartRadio app and it will be yours. Rush may be gone, but he will absolutely never be forgotten. Great to be back with you here this morning for Alan and Melissa and for Chris the Budman. You'll have a wonderful day. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. Until then, thank you. God bless you. And as always, God bless America.